It's Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 20 through 22. It says, "When the Lord, thy God, shall enlarge thy border as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because thy soul longeth to eat flesh, thou mayest eat flesh, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. If the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to put his name there be too far from thee, then thou shalt kill of thy herd and of thy flock which the Lord giveth thee, as I have commanded thee, and thou shalt eat in the gates whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. Even as the roebuck and the hart is eaten, so shalt thou eat them. The unclean and the clean shall eat of them alike." You may be seated. I read the words, the unclean and the clean. I think I've never heard a sermon about the unclean and the clean. While the Israelites were in the wilderness, they did not eat the flesh of any of the clean animals that were used in the role of a sacrifice. For the sacrificial animal was killed at the door of the tabernacle, and part of it was presented to God and the priest as a peace offering. Now, if we go to Leviticus chapter 17, verses 3 through, it's actually 3 through 5. "Whatsoever man there is of the house of Israel who killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed into that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto Yahweh, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. The penalty for failing to bring the sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle was to be cut off from the kingdom." What exactly does that mean? Was the person forbidden thereafter to come near the tabernacle? Was he ostracized? Did all his family and friends eliminate all contact with him? Or did it mean the person had to be executed? It probably, and I don't know which one it was, but it probably meant the latter, as I don't know how it could have been done when they were traveling in the wilderness. But when the Israelites finally took possession of the Canaan land, where many were given land that was a great distance from the one tabernacle, and later the one temple, they might kill what they pleased for their own use of their flocks and herds, without bringing part of the sacrificed animal to the altar. The unclean Israelite, who might not yet eat of the holy sacrificial animal, was allowed to eat of the same animal when it was used only as common food. The distinction between clean persons and unclean was sacred and designed for the preserving of the honor of their holy feast, therefore must not be brought into their ordinary meals. But I have a question. But who was a clean Israelite, and who was an unclean Israelite? I knew the scriptures had referenced clean and unclean foods, clean and unclean houses, clean and unclean vessels, clean and unclean clothes, clean and unclean spirits. But Israelites? Even priests of Israel were clean and unclean. This is the subject I never heard preached in a sermon. An Israelite could be unclean for a day, or 7 days, or 2 weeks, or it could be for the remainder of his life. But it did have some dangerous consequences if the unclean person did not purify himself. How did he do that? In some cases, the water of separation had to be sprinkled on him by a priest or another clean person. Numbers 19:13. Whosoever touches the dead body of any man who is dead, and purify not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. Anybody ever touch a dead person? What if the unclean person touched the clean person? What if the reverse happens? Well, Numbers 19:22. And whatsoever the unclean person touches shall be unclean. And the soul that touches it shall be unclean until evening. In both situations, the clean person became unclean by either touching or being touched by the unclean person. How was the Israelite made clean if he was unclean? Well, very interesting question. One way was to first sacrifice a very rare red heifer, which had no blemishes, was over 2 years old, had no defects, and had never worn a yoke. It is probably true that up to the destruction of the second temple, ashes had been prepared from a total of only 9 red heifers. The first red heifer was processed by Moses himself, as the verse states. Have them bring you, referring to Moses, a red heifer. The second was done by the prophet Ezra in the days of the first temple. And during the entire era of the second temple, only 7 more heifers were used for ashes. That was enough to provide for all the nation's needs for purification throughout all those years. The process of purification would be that the priest would take his finger and sprinkle the red heifer's blood before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. While the heifer was burning, the priest would take cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning fire. Doing this procedure, the priest became unclean, which he would be until the evening. But this cannot be done now. Why, you might ask? Because you have to have, first of all, a temple. The temple was destroyed in 70 A.D., you have to have a red heifer for its ashes. You got to have a priest. You got to have an unclean person. And the Jews must be thought to be the covenant people of God instead of the Israelites. Could a red heifer born in Israel or America bring about Armageddon? Big mistake. Never underestimate the power of false religions, religious faith, to shape events, especially in the Holy Land, especially right now. A Christian does not need these things to happen. The death of the kinsman redeemer satisfied all the sacrificing of animals in the Old Testament. The red heifer and the temple is no longer needed in the New Covenant. Christ's sacrifice lacks nothing. Reestablishment of the red heifer sacrifice could add nothing to it. Christ's sacrifice is better than the red heifer sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9, 13 and 14. And there's something in this verse. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an red heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? A restoration of the red heifer sacrifice would be the reinstitution of an inferior system and would nullify the benefits of the atonement of our Messiah. The cleansing of the red heifer sacrifice cleansed from the defilement of physical death. The sacrifice of Christ gives eternal life. 9:15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The shadows of the old system have given way to the reality. Jesus' sacrifice is superior to the red heifer sacrifice. Jesus is the fulfillment of the sacrificial system of Old Covenant Israel. Jesus is a cessation of the Old Covenant system. The sacrifice of the red heifer, or a thousand like her, can never equal the sacrifice made by our Savior on behalf of his kinsmen. But this fits in well with the Jewish, Jesuit, Roman Catholic view of futurism, of Daniel's 70th week. The Bible promises that Israel's third temple will be built on the Temple Mount 5 or 6 years before the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus. There are only two things blocking Israel, from building the temple right now. The political dispute between Israeli and the Muslims over control of the Temple Mount, and the birth of a red heifer needed for purifying Jews from contact with death. The Jews and the Palestinians are presently engaged in negotiations to resolve the political dispute, and a rancher and jewelry is attempting to produce the needed red heifer. In the last 20 years, two red heifers have been discovered, and they cause quite a disturbance, if you notice. In the Old Covenant, how would an Israelite become clean? The priest would take his finger and sprinkle the red heifer's blood before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. While the heifer was being burnt in sacrifice, the priest would take cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the fire. While doing this procedure, the priest became unclean, which he would be until the evening. Numbers 19:7. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he should come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. The rest of the chapter informs it that a clean person who touches the body of a dead man was unclean 7 days. He was required to purify himself on the 3rd day, and on the 7th he would be clean. This included a dead body in war, or one dead by an accident, or even when the grave was touched. After the red heifer was cremated, its ashes were put in a place without the camp in a clean place. Then a few of the ashes was put in a vessel, and then running clean water was mixed in the vessel. Then a clean person took a hyssop and dipped it into this special ashes-water combination and sprinkled it upon the unclean person. The unclean person cannot sprinkle himself, or an unclean person either. It had to be a clean person who sprinkled the unclean. The sprinkler would then have to wash his clothes, take a bath, and then was unclean until just the evening. And did you know that any woman who gave birth to a male child was unclean for 7 days? And who gave birth to a female child was unclean for 2 weeks? So much for the equality of the sexes. But what if a woman had twins? A girl and a boy. How long would she be unclean? Would it be 21 days? What if she had 4 girls, quadruplets? Would she be unclean for 8 weeks? 4 times 2 weeks or 56 days? I do not know. If a person had a scab, the priest, not the doctor, the priest was required to check and see if it had spread. If it hadn't spread, he would pronounce him clean. But if the scab had spread, the priest would pronounce him unclean. All garments that touched his skin will be declared unclean and would have to be burned by fire. Ephesians 5:3-5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, this is New Testament now, New Covenant, nor covetous man who is an idolater have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Have any inheritance. Whoa. The New Testament has a lot of verses that identify who is an unclean person. In the book of Ephesians, we see that an unclean person will be without any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So it's a very serious sin. It's a sexual sin. It is an abomination to our Lord God. In fact, the Bible condemns this sin as wickedness, an abomination, a defilement, a criminal offense, foolish, vile, deeply corrupted, unclean, dishonorable, my goodness, a vile affection, a result of a reprobate mind, an action worthy of death, unrighteous, contrary to sound doctrine, and ungodly. Those nations in the Bible which accepted or were tolerant of homosexual behavior were judged by God and destroyed. And those who rejected homosexual behavior were praised. The Bible also established civil laws which made homosexuality a capital offense in Israel. The Bible talks about Judah being infested with sodomites for several generations until they were taken away by King Asa. This was one of 3 cleansings in Judah of its sodomites. Now I'll read you the first one. 1 Kings 14:24. And there were also sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So they did the same thing the Canaanites did. 1 Kings 15:11-12. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David, his father. And he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Sodomites are unclean. The devil's leading religion in America, secular humanism, states its position concerning sodomy in their Humanist Manifesto number 2. It says, quote, "We believe that intolerant attitudes, often cultivated by orthodox religions and puritanical cultures, unduly repress sexual conduct. The right to birth control, abortion, and divorce should be recognized." The many varieties of sexual exploitation should not in themselves be considered evil, unquote. The humanist attempts to camouflage the corruption of sodomites. But God's inspired, infallible, inanimate, preserved word reveals their filthy sins as vile. Now I'll read you Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. The show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Well, how do they show their sin? Well, there's a lot of ways. Number one, by marching. They no longer sneak around hiding like roaches and rats. They now march down the main streets of cities and towns carrying signs, declaring their sin as Sodom. This does not reveal advances made by the humanist sodomite liberation movements. It simply reveals how low down the morals in this nation have plunged. When sodomites start marching down Main Street, it's like a house infested with roaches where no effort is made to control or eliminate them. The second, newspapers. It's becoming increasingly more obvious that the news media in general is pro-sodomite. The Cincinnati Inquirer constantly prints stories that are sympathetic about pride marches, homosexual teas, and other perverted events. Politics. A few years ago, a sodomite would not dare run for any office. And no political party would endorse anyone guilty of sodomy for votes. But now the Democratic Party has. Walter F. Mondale cites party commitment to eliminate all laws, rules, and regulations which discriminate against individuals based on sexual orientation. There is even now the candidate for governor of Colorado who is openly gay, who is a potential winner. Fourth, pageants. Charlotte, North Carolina fostered a Miss Sodomite America pageant. Five, churches. The Metropolitan Community Church is a sodomite denomination. Quote, the Metropolitan Community Church, a nationwide denomination formed in 1968 by an ex-Pentecostal holiness minister named Troy Perry. The Metropolitan Community Church now boasts 30,000 members and 170 churches. The Metropolitan Community Church openly denies that sodomy is a sin. The boldness of the sodomites in Judah was the result of a testimony to the prevailing evil condition of the people in general. This is the same sequence that we are now witnessing in America. The sixth, television. This has been one of the key instruments that Satan has used in brainwashing this wicked world into accepting sodomites into its culture. Look at all the organizations that are promoting or tolerant of this perversion, which is an abomination of our God. First, Major League Baseball. This makes me sick. The Cincinnati Reds gave away this hat on their Pride Night, which was just 3 weeks ago. Here it is. The Cardinals against the Reds, Friday, June 8, 2018, at 7:10 p.m. Exclusive Pride Night hat ticket package. There's the hat. Terrence level hat package, $36. View level hat package, $16. But it's not just the Reds. June 8, 2018 was almost 1 month ago. The Atlanta Braves, Miami Marlins, New York Mets, Philadelphia Phillies, Washington Nationals, Chicago Cubs, that will have two Pride Nights, the Cubbies do, Cincinnati Reds, Milwaukee Brewers, Pittsburgh Pirates, St. Louis Cardinals, Arizona Diamondbacks, Colorado Rockies, San Francisco Giants, Baltimore Orioles, Boston Red Sox, Tampa Bay Rays, Toronto Blue Jays, Cleveland Indians, Kansas City Royals, Minnesota Twins, Houston Astros, Oakland Athletics, Seattle Mariners, Texas Rangers have either already had a Pride Night or will have one later in the season. 24 of the 30 Major League Baseball teams had or will have Pride Nights in 2018. Oh, I wish the Reds would not have had one. But every team in their division did. Rainbow-colored hats are the giveaways of choice for 11 Major League Baseball teams that have LGBTQ Pride games this season. That's the Blue Jays, Braves, Cubs, Diamondbacks, Orioles, Padres, Pirates, Rays, Reds, Marlins, and Twins are all giving Pride hats to people who buy a ticket to their game. This is the first year the Reds are having a Pride Night. The Brewers, Cardinals, and Dodgers have shirts with a rainbow theme. The Athletics and Mariners have a wearable Pride flags, and the Giants have a backpack. The other seven teams with Pride Nights have not specified what, if any, their giveaway will be. Now, there's the Oakland Athletics flag that they gave away. It's not just baseball. In Major League Soccer, the Columbus Crew, Chicago Fire, and San Jose Earthquakes had their Pride Nights, while the Philadelphia Union marched in the city's Pride Parade. In Portland, Timbers player Zarak Valentin wore a ribbon in his hair to raise money for LGBTQ youth groups. In the WNBA, the Los Angeles Sparks held their Pride Night, while the NBA 76ers marched in the Philadelphia Pride Parade. The NHL's Bruins participated in Boston's Pride Parade, the Capitals in the D.C. Parade, and the Oilers in the Edmonton Parade. Then I got a picture. L.A. Dodgers. They have a wet rainbow on their logo behind the pitcher's mound. That's enough of sport teams making me sick. But then, there's the American amusement countries. Disney has long held homosexual events for years. They invite LGBTQs to their fantasy world, for a specific week each year. Now they are joined by many more. One joining the tolerance is Kings Island, just north of Cincinnati. Pride Night. Kings Island, Cincinnati Pride, at Kings Island, Friday, September 7th, 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. That's coming up. Shangri-La and 8 of X. You know who these people are? Well, this interests me a little bit. Pride Night at Kings Island will be in a few months, September. And who is Shangri-La, who is giving the sign of Satan, and Ada Vox, who are headlining Pride Night? I assume they'll be performing it. Well, I looked up Shangri-La. DJ Pierce is his real name. He is a drag queen. As an actor, now, you might have seen him in some of these shows if you watch TV or if you go to the movies. As an actor, he guest starred on network television shows like Two Broke Girls, Glee, Bones, The Mentalist, X-Files, and more. He, she, I don't know what to call him, he, she, it, has appeared in films including Hurricane Bianca in 2016, Kiss Me, Kill Me in 2015, and the upcoming releases Hurricane Bianca 2 and A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. He is a drag queen MC in the movie. In 2012, he, she co-starred with Jennifer Lewis in a four-part scripted YouTube series called Jennifer Lewis and Shangri-La. Prince, or Shangri-La, continues to climb in notoriety. He, she has been named out of Out Magazine's 100 Most Compelling People, and 2015 was featured on Forbes.com for his drag management company, Say What Entertainment. I like it better. It has written and released music, including the smash hit, I can't pronounce it, Worgen Girl, performed alongside Miley Cyrus on the 2015 MTV Video Music Awards, co-produced the successful Werg, the World Tour, as creative director, and will tour his newest self-written stand-up comedy show, Shook, in 2018. As Shangri-La, he has performed on 6 of the 7 continents and has sights on Antarctica next. Is he going to sing for the penguins? I don't know which. A native of Paris, Texas, Pierce graduated with honors from Southern Methodist University and currently resides in Los Angeles. He is involved in various charity work and remains a member of SAG, AFTRA Union, which is the Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. Well, that's enough about Shangri-La. Now, Adam, out of Vox. Adam Sanders from San Antonio, Texas, was a participant on the American Idol television music contest show. He was cut in the top 50 of the contestants on season 12. A couple years later, he returned to the show as a girl, a drag queen as Ada Vox, and sang, and all the judges praised him. Ada Vox impressed the judges on American Idol so much, they pulled a major move to get her to the top 10. After her performance of And I'm Telling You, I'm Not Going from Dreamgirls, the judges were convinced to save her right after her performance rather than at the end of the show. It clearly made an impression on the judges. It is a drag queen. She might be Ada Vox on American Idol, but when the wig and makeup comes off, Ada is Adam Sanders from San Antonio, Texas. At its audition, Vox revealed that he or she's a waiter by day and a drag queen by night, performing at clubs as Ada Vox. For Sanders, who identifies as male and uses he pronouns out of drag, Ada Vox is an entertainment persona that he uses for performance, sort of like a character he plays. For American Idol, he decided to perform as Ada on the show after multiple attempts at auditioning out of drag. He auditioned 13 times. It's not who I live as, I'm just a drag queen. I do this on stage for entertainment purposes. This is simply an alter performance ego, but it's not who Adam is. Music was an inspiration after brain surgery. Singing became a big part of Sanders' life when he underwent brain surgery to remove a cyst at 8 years old. Here's a quote. When I was in the hospital, my mom would sing to me, and when she would sing to me, I had this sense of healing and a sense of happiness, he told the San Antonio Current. That was the only time I would have relief from the pain that I was dealing with at the time. The character was dreamed up 3 years ago after seeing drag queens for the first time. Sanders became inspired to create a persona that fit his high-pitched singing voice. Sanders auditioned for American Idol 13 times. He made the show in season 12, and she made it in season 16. He was cut in the top 50, she made it to the top 10. And here's a picture of Ada Vox, who is coming to Kings Island September the 7th. Now, Clay Aiken, he's also a homosexual, He was runner-up on the second season of American Idol. He wrote a little thing about her. He commented that, quote, Ada Vox is a star, and she deserves to be considered one of the most important television figures of the year. In an interview with Logo's New Now Next, she talked about the great responsibility of being a groundbreaker or a role model. I am standing for something that is so much bigger than myself, she said. That she has done, and I have no doubt it is what she will continue to do. Clay continues, after ratings for American Idol flagged, and its pop culture influence diminished during its final seasons on Fox, ABC revived the show with the goal of producing more stars. I predict that Ada Vox will be the first ABC Idol alums to achieve that stardom. With the exceptions of Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood, the Idol alums with the most valuable and lasting music careers have tended to be those contestants who didn't win. Ada Vox will likely eclipse whoever the eventual winner may be, and I suspect her success will dwarf many of the careers of those of us who graced the Idol stage before her. Because of her willingness to stand in the line of fire for a cause bigger than herself, because of her ability to perform in a way that excites so many, and because of her courage to live out loud and unapologetically, even when she's not the best singer, she deserves it. Clay Aiken. Oh. Well, they're out of the closet. My conclusion. A judge in Warren County, just north of Cincinnati, refused a 15-year-old girl's request to have her name changed. This was this week in the paper. She is a boy who is wanting to become a girl. Her parents and her doctor were in favor of it and are upset by the judge's ruling. The judge said she was too young for such a drastic decision. The parents said they would appeal the decision and would keep on appealing until they got the outcome that they wanted. Second thing, this is also this week. A Russian television station offered to buy any queer a one-way ticket to California. There were a lot of people who came forward to take up their offer. Next one. For the second year in a row, a transgendered wrestler has won the Texas Girls Class 6A 110-pound division. Mac Biggs, an 18-year-old senior from Euless Trinity High School near Dallas, entered the tournament in Cypress outside Houston with an undefeated record. He beat Chelsea Sanchez, whom he beat for the title in 2017, in the final match Saturday. Biggs is in the process of transitioning from female to male and taking a low dose of testosterone. He wanted to wrestle against boys, but was not allowed. It was his steroid therapy treatments while wrestling girls that stirred a fierce debate about competitive fairness and transgendered rights last season. It's been a lot quieter since last year when his march to a state championship was dogged by a last-minute lawsuit that tried to stop him. The state says that each participant must fight under what his or her birth certificate says that they were born as, either male or female. Her birth certificate says that she was born a girl. I look at this picture. There's hair under his armpit. I can see why the parents are upset. All right, next. Anybody know who that is? Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper, son of Gloria Vanderbilt, is gay and has a male partner. The former CIA member and television host conducts his own show. I wondered why I didn't like that guy. You know who this is? New York Senator Chuck Schumer embraces his daughter and her fiancé at the North NYC Pride Parade. Well, it's a girl. State Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat from New York, announced at New York City Pride that his daughter is engaged to a woman. See, they're out boasting of their lifestyle. They would never have done that 20 years ago, maybe not even 10 years ago. Oh, how about this one? Supergirl. In a first for the franchise, the fourth season of Supergirl will introduce a transgendered character. Supergirl, which just ended its third season, is behind a casting call for the show. They are specifically casting a new character, Nina Now, as a transgendered woman. How Macy celebrates Pride. June is National LGBTQ Pride Month. Show your support with Macy's as we defend equality plus unite with respect and joyful celebrations across the country. Macy's is committed to diversity, inclusion, and respect for all. We're joining in parades and festivals throughout America and hosting Macy's in-store events to recognize members of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning communities. And then there was the protest of sodomites at downtown Harrison and on to Harrison Park, Arkansas. Our friend, publisher of Hear Ye, her name is Susanna Jean, joined the anti-sodomite protesters in a rally for morality. Would you think some other churches would come out to stand for Jesus the Christ and his law? Nope. Some were willing to pray, but not to stand publicly. But there was a very spectacular thing that happened after the anti-protesters left. We stood there, lighting both sides of their parade route for 2+ hours in the hot sun, and right after we left, it started to rain. We didn't get wet, and it soon rained in torrents. And then the hail came, and the winds blew fiercely. The sodomites' tents in the park were destroyed. And then they huddled for protection under some little shelter they found. God Almighty stepped in and spoke and moved much more effectively than we ever could have. The sodomites' day was ruined, and no one can deny that God Almighty stepping in and did it. Hallelujah. This all began last week when a member said that Kroger's was sponsoring Pride Day in Cincinnati. He made a couple phone calls to them. Then a number member added that she refuses to purchase anything made by Procter & Gamble for the same reason. At the rate it's going, it won't be long until every major corporation in the land will be tolerating this anti-God morality. Wait a minute. Maybe not Chick-fil-A or Hobby Lobby, and not the true law-abiding Christian. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.